Welcome to the preaching ministry of Tri-City Baptist Church in Chandler, Arizona. Our desire is that God would be magnified through the preaching of His Word, and that Christians would be challenged, strengthened, and edified in their personal walk with Christ.
Turn in your Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and as you're turning there, I hope you will continue to pray for our family as we continue to minister in the state of Wisconsin. I wanted to mention just briefly, recently my wife and I did start a family podcast called Family Conversations. It is sponsored by the Home Educator Conference of Wisconsin and Academy of Excellence, and they are actually pushing us and encouraging us and supporting us to continue to put out a Family Conversations podcast, which will get family values to specifically the homeschool families that are engaged in the Christian Academy, the Academy of Excellence. And of course, because of my travels, I can see where people are listening. I know that people are listening across the country and people are listening around the world. And we would welcome you to join in and listen to that Family Conversations podcast. You can find it on Apple Music and Podcasts or the Apple Podcast app. You can also find it on Spotify. And we're just hopeful that God can continue to get His truth out, because I believe that one of the biggest problems in the church today is the lack of consistent Christian values in our Christian homes. Strong homes build strong churches, and strong churches influence their world and their culture, and it all starts with what's going on in the family. And I hope that that can be a blessing to you, some of you young families, and some that maybe have already raised your children. Maybe you can listen in and it can be a blessing to you. And so I hope you'll check that out. And I hope you'll pray for us as we go back on Thursday, and we'll continue our ministry there in Wisconsin and continue also to do the traveling ministry as well. And I hope that we will be on your prayer list, and that a little bit like the missionaries, you will have a regular time where you pray for us as we evangelize, as we travel, and as we serve the Lord. And tonight I want to conclude my time of preaching to you with probably one of the most quoted verses in all of the Bible, Philippians 1 verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Surely we understand tonight that as we think about missions and mission fields, that at the very heart of everything we do in missions is the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 12, verse 32, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." And of course, we know that in that context, he was speaking of the crucifixion. He was speaking of the cross. And isn't it amazing that Paul said this in Galatians 6, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so we know that at the very heart of all of our work around the world is that the fact that we are declaring boldly and living out who Jesus is. We're telling people who He is. We're demonstrating who He is. The Bible makes it clear that this is the very essence of all ministry. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." Colossians 1, verse 28, "Whom we preach," speaking of Jesus Christ, "whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom." So at the very heart of our ministry, and even the ministry that is taking place in this church this week, is the fact that we love Jesus. And it's at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow. And that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that we know that every person is someday going to bow the knee before Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." And so tonight, I want the challenge to be for all of us that we would be committed Christians that are lifting up Jesus. We are magnifying Christ. We are bringing glory to his name. And that is the theme in Philippians chapter 1, not only in the verse we read, verse 21, but in the entire chapter, Paul is basically describing his ministry. He's struggling with whether he should die or stay behind. He's in the strait. You've read the strait betwixt two, and he's having a desire to depart, to go be with God, but he's remaining behind, which is more needful for the church. And the essence of Philippians chapter 1 is that ministry life, and for this missionary, the Apostle Paul, it was all about lifting up Jesus. It was all about magnifying the name of Jesus Christ. We see it most pointedly in verses 20 and 21. I read already verse 20, 21. Look at verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified. The theme of all missions work is Christ must be magnified. Oh, how blessed I was again here tonight to hear about the nation of India, and just so incredible to see the many, many dialects and the many, many languages and the over 1.4 billion people that are just packed in that one country. And yet there are many places, not only just India, but many places around the world where Christ is not known and Christ needs to be made known. So at the very heart of missions work is the magnification of Jesus Christ. But that work will never be accomplished around the world unless individuals like you and me commit ourselves to what Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." I made this statement earlier on this weekend when I said it's not enough to have a conference. We need to make commitments. And I believe across this auditorium, there may be some who need to ramp up their dedication. They need to ramp up their commitment that Christ would be magnified in your life, in your neighborhood, in your mission field. And could it be that you would get so fired up about that from a conference like this that you would even commit yourself to go somewhere in this world and make your entire life about magnifying Jesus Christ? So I want to talk about this tonight with just a simple message from Philippians 1 verse 21. And I want you to notice that there are actually four steps or four principles that we can see that will help us to be committed to magnifying Jesus Christ. That is clearly the theme that Paul is bringing to us. Christ must be magnified. And I want to do this from Philippians 1 verse 21. First of all, by looking at the first three words. Notice the first three words. For to me. Now, we would typically quote this verse, read over this verse very quickly, and probably not think too much about those first three words. We might actually think there's surely nothing too profound in those three words. And yet, there is something powerful in those three words. As a matter of fact, you probably can clearly see this. He doesn't say, for the Philippian believers to live as Christ. He didn't say that. He didn't say for Timothy to live as Christ. We know that Paul had all kinds of disciples. We talked about that earlier. We know that Paul discipled Timothy, but he doesn't mention any of his friends. Could it have been possible for Paul to actually mention Silas, who was actually in Philippi in prison when we read in Acts chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And so we know that he could have mentioned the Philippian believers, the Philippian church. He could have mentioned Timothy or Titus or Barnabas or John Mark or Silas himself, who was in Philippi. But Paul does not mention anyone except who? Himself. He says, for to me. Now, I know this is obvious, but no one magnifies Jesus Christ until they personally decide to do so. This means these three words tell us that magnifying Christ demands a public commitment. I just mentioned this earlier. We're not looking at just having a conference. We're looking at having some commitments. How committed are you to this theme of life? How committed are you to the missions around the world of declaring the gospel? How committed are you to pray, to give, to go, to serve in these kinds of ways? It is a public commitment. Now, it's interesting that verse 20 actually tells us two parts of this commitment. Notice verse 20 says, first of all, we should not be ashamed. So there's a negative. This is what we should not be. The word ashamed has the idea of shrinking away in fear. And I want to just say tonight that this text is teaching us that a part of our public commitment, when we say, for to me, part of it is we're supposed to be standing up for Jesus. We're supposed to be unashamed. You know, there's a time right now in American history and American culture where Christians should not be standing idly by. We should be active. We should be voting. We should be praying. We should be involved. We should be people of influence because we want to stand up for Jesus. It is not about our popularity. It's not about necessarily who's the president. It is not about just the economy and those kinds of things. There is a tragedy happening in America today, and that is that Jesus Christ is not known, and he needs to be made known. And we need to be people that stand up for Jesus, unashamed. But there's something else. There's a positive commitment that is given here in verse 20 as well. Not only is it a negative to not be ashamed, which means we stand up for Jesus, but watch this. This is interesting. He says, but with all boldness. Now, maybe you know this, but the word boldness literally is talking about our speaking. It's literally freedom of speech, which I'm glad we have so that we can even do this here tonight in this free country. But why is it that we'll talk about hobbies and we'll talk about sports teams and we'll talk about our family and we'll talk about all the other things, entertainment and so many things that are happening in our lives? Why are we not talking about Jesus Christ? We need to open our mouths and we need to let the gospel out. We need to tell people the good news that Jesus saves. And this is how we have this commitment. A commitment is to stand up and to speak out for the cause of Jesus Christ. Why? So that Christ can be magnified. Because at the very heart of gospel ministry and missions work here and around the world, it's all about lifting up Jesus. And we need Christians who are bold and courageous and unashamed to make this public commitment known. Hey, I wonder if I were to ask people at your workplace, if I were to ask people in your neighborhood, in your family, young person, people at your Christian school or public school, would anybody say, you know what? I'll say this about that person. They are on fire for the Lord. They are always wanting to tell people about Christ. Boy, they love Jesus. Would anybody say that about you or me? I sure hope that we are public enough that everybody knows what we're living for. And we are living for Jesus, amen? That Christ might be magnified. That we would show forth his character, that we would enlarge him in the eyes of other people. My friends, tonight, this is why this church exists. This is why these missionaries go. This is why I'm preaching and serve the Lord with my life, is because it's all about Jesus. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Christ must be magnified through a public commitment. There's something else that the verse says. In verse 21, he goes on and he says, for to me to live. The word live is a powerful word. It has two primary meanings or connotations in this context. First of all, the idea of living means the entirety of your life. For example, when someone is going to eulogize about you or talk about legacy, right? What will we be known for? That's the idea. The entirety of your life, what will you be known for? And I sure hope that somebody might say their life was lived solely for Jesus Christ. I sure hope somebody would say that about me when it's the entirety of my life. And most importantly, when we stand before God, we want to hear him say what? Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, how we long to have an entire life that is given over to this great cause. The cause of missions, which is the cause of Jesus. To give our lives over to declaring him and making him known and living out Christianity in the eyes of other people. So this word live means the entirety of your life. Secondly, the word live means every day of your life. Because we surely know that you cannot have an entire life live for Jesus if you are not choosing to live for him today and tomorrow. In the next day, and the next week, and the next month, that this overwhelming sense of commitment guides you to live daily and make daily choices that honor and please and magnify Jesus Christ. So what this tells me is that this public commitment is, number two, regarding our personal conduct. This is obvious in this text. It is easy for people to say, oh, how I love Jesus, but it is hard for them to live for him. And it's important that we recognize we do not have a commitment to Christ, to magnify Christ in this world, whether it's here in America or around the world in missions ministry. We do not have the kind of commitment that we're talking about unless we are changing our life for Jesus Christ. There should be no area of our life that we are not considering. No decision of our life or lifestyle, behavior, discernment issues, all of those things matter, because decisions in our lifestyle are decisions whether we're going to magnify the Lord or whether we turn people away from the Lord. And this is why Paul said himself in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do. And the point is, if even the mundane things of eating and drinking need to honor the Lord, then there is nothing that should be out of bounds for us to consider. What are we doing? Doing all to what? The glory of God. And I want you to see this in Paul's life and his lifestyle. Turn with me quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. What I'm talking about tonight is a life that is magnifying Christ, because it is a life that is full of dedication. That's the public commitment. And it's also full of disciplined conduct. So it's dedication and discipline. And what's interesting to note that the writer of Philippians, who happens to be the writer of much of our New Testament, also declares very transparently in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 the kind of discipline he was going to place on his own life, on his living, on his lifestyle behavioral choices. Boy, how this is so important in our world today, because somehow people get really bent out of shape and get up in arms whenever we start talking about behavioral issues, lifestyle decisions. And yet the Bible is reminding us that in everything we do, we should consider, is Christ being magnified? And that's what Paul was doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, he brings us into this analogy of a runner in a race. And he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, literally disciplined or self-controlled in all things. I like that. It's not in a few things, it's in all things. The illustration of an athlete. Everything about their life and lifestyle changes so that they can win the race, they can get the medal, they can win the prize. And that's the way we should be running, with great discipline, with great self-control, considering all things, considering every detail of cultural decision, family decision, personal decision, in our lifestyle and in our living. He says that these things they do to obtain a corruptible crown, verse 25, but we are doing these things to receive an incorruptible crown. Isn't this amazing that athletes will run a race and they will receive a corruptible crown that's going to fade away and will not go into eternity with them, and yet a lot of Christians will not discipline their lives for things that are laid up in heaven that are incorruptible. The treasures, the real treasures, are the treasures laid up in heaven. And the point he's making is that all of us as believers should consider placing this kind of self-control, this kind of disciplined life in our lives as Christians. And so look what Paul says about his own life. I love this. This is Paul's testimony and his transparency concerning his disciplined lifestyle. No wonder he magnified Christ. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I love this because he was not haphazard. He was not uncertain. He actually tells us in Romans chapter 14, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He was considering every decision with all kinds of principles and details. He didn't want to just have a hope-so attitude. Well, I hope I'm glorifying God. No, we got to know we're glorifying God. He was not uncertain. But he says in verse 27, but I keep under my body. This is disciplined life, discipline in his lifestyle. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And so Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 1, for me to live is Christ. And you know what Paul says? The way I'm going to live the entirety of my life and day by day is with walking circumspectly and being discerning and disciplined in my lifestyle decisions. And the challenge is obvious for all of us. We need to consider, how are we living? And whether you're in public ministry or you're in personal ministry, where you're reaching people in this community or reaching people around the world, we all know that talk is cheap. And if we're going to raise our hand and say we're committed or sing the song, oh, I love Jesus, we need to make sure that we are proving it in the lifestyle decisions of our life, our family, and our ministries. And I want to encourage you to not allow any area of your life to be conformed to this world, but do those things which bring God glory. Do those things which draw people to Jesus. And I just want to encourage you to consider those realities of your Christian life and experience, because Christ must be magnified, and you know how we magnify him? In our living. For to me to live. So it's a public commitment about our personal conduct. And this is the entire point. Christ must be magnified. Why? Because that's the heart of the gospel. That is the heart of missions work here and around the world. When we look on the fields and we want to help, there's one way to help. Show them Jesus. That's what we're doing. When we preach, when we live, when we minister, when we build Bible colleges and plant churches, it's all about lifting up Jesus. That's what the goal is. And this is a daunting task, and so the verse goes on and it says, for to me to live is Christ. Wow, this is probably the most powerful part of the verse. He's literally saying, life equals Christ. That's what he's saying. So Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, maybe you're out here tonight and you're like, I know I'm supposed to be committed and I know I'm supposed to be disciplined, but Brother Mark, it's hard. Yes, it is. But I'm not sure I can do this. Right. We can't do this apart from whose power? The power of Jesus Christ. Isn't that ironic that we're challenged about magnifying Christ? And then in essence, he's telling us here, we cannot magnify Christ without the power of Christ. And of course, we know the moment we get saved and we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit, we have the power of Christ, we have the power of the gospel on our lives, we have every resource available to us. But the fact of the matter is, one of the biggest sins in the church and in ministry today is the sin of self-sufficiency, where we're not even talking to God about our need of dependence on Him, where we're not saying to Him, like we read in the scripture, in our weakness He is strong. Lord, I am poor and needy, and yet You think upon me, and acknowledging our weakness, our frailty, and our great need. This is so countercultural, because the world is saying you need to wake up every day and exude your confidence and just step up to the plate. I mean, seize the day, seize the moment. You can do it. And yet the reality is, we all know we can't do this. It's not enough to just have this attitude of, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, I'm going to do better, I'm going to try harder. You know what, folks? The Bible says, for without Him, we can do nothing. So we don't wake up and seize the day. We don't wake up and say, I can do it. We wake up and we drop to our knees and we say, Lord, I need You. Hey, this is at the heart of what we're talking about as we talk about and we get to see these missions opportunities that we're experiencing even here this week. And every one of them is saying, we need You to pray. We need You to beg God for us. And we're not just praying for success in the ministry. We're praying for the enabling power of God so that He will do incredible things in and through the lives of these missionaries and in their ministries around the world. For without Him, we can do nothing. Boy, I love what Paul told Timothy in the pastoral epistles when he boldly said, I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord. Listen to this. Paul said, who has enabled me? Paul, even the great apostle Paul, knew it wasn't his talent. It wasn't his training. It wasn't his upbringing. It was the power of God that was going to make him successful in ministry. And I want to declare tonight that that is the only way any of us will be successful, is if we are desperately dependent on the power of Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you to understand that God's power comes through Christ as we submit to His Word. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's like a hammer. It's like a two-edged sword. Sanctify them with Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. John 17:17. And it comes as we are submissive to the Word of God. That's being empowered by Christ. It comes as we are then sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we are not grieving the Spirit or quenching the Spirit, but we are sensitive to how the Spirit is guiding and leading our lives and our ministries. Because it's all about the name of Jesus. It's all about lifting Him up, and He is the one that enables us to do this awesome task of making Him known to this world and magnifying the name of Jesus Christ. So Paul is displaying this for us, not only in his written words, but in his life and lifestyle, and he is displaying for us that Christ must be magnified. And what I'm saying tonight is this is the very heart of missionary work. This is the very heart of looking on the fields and praying for laborers and seeing the need. It is at the very heart of everything we're talking about. It's all about Jesus, magnifying the name of Jesus. And lest we think that it's not worth it, look how he ends the verse in Philippians 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is real success. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It's a public commitment, personal conduct. Number three, powerful Christ. And then number four, profitable conclusion. Profitable conclusion. In other words, it's definitely not a bummer to serve God. If you're here as a young person and you're watching some of these missionaries and God is working in your heart and somehow there's a burden in your heart that says, maybe I should go to Africa, or maybe I should go to Asia, or maybe I should serve God somewhere around the world, just like these missionaries. Let me just tell you that the devil is going to tempt you to think, if I give my life to Jesus, if I surrender to the mission field, it's going to kind of be a bummer of a life. Let me just tell you, that is such a lie. I have been to so many places and served with so many different people, and some of the greatest servants of the Lord, having the time of their life, making Christ known, magnifying the name of Christ around the world, and they are just doing so well, serving God in so many different places. So if you are a young person and God is working in your heart, let me just say, it's the best thing you could ever do, is give your life to serve the Lord and preach his gospel and live out his truth in some foreign land. It's one of the best things you could ever surrender your life to do. And it's truly worth it all. It is gain. It is gain here because it's really the only way to live that brings fulfillment. This is the abundant life. Magnify Christ. Live your life every day for the cause of Christ. Not only is it gain here through the abundant life that we have as we try to live out these principles that I'm talking about here tonight, but let me just tell you, it's going to be wonderful in eternity. For we know that the investment that we are making, I think of some of these men that I've heard in this conference, and just to think about the labor and the time and the energy and all of the things they are doing to make Christ known in their country and to lift up and magnify Jesus Christ in these dark places, these lands that have never heard. I think of just what joy there will be when they meet their Savior and they know it was worth it all to live for the Lord. The old songwriter said, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face and all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. So I wanted to preach this tonight because at the very foundational level and at the very heart of missions work is who Jesus is, what Jesus said, and what Jesus did. And our lives should be consumed, just like Paul was consumed, with magnifying Jesus Christ. For to me, to live is Christ. For to me, to serve is Christ. For you to go to a foreign land is Christ. It's not about us. It's not about Tri-City. It's not about IBM missions. It is not about any particular missionary. Folks, tonight we are seeking to honor the one who is worthy of all praise. And someday for all eternity, we will say, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and wisdom and strength. And so we want our lives to be consumed with magnifying the name of Jesus, with a public commitment about our personal conduct through a powerful Christ, which brings us to a profitable conclusion. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a powerful verse that reminds us what our lives are about and what missions work is all about. Christ must be magnified. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together.